Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Hi, everybody, and happy Friday. We are here every Friday on Momentum Magnet talking about real pieces of information that you can use to put more growth and momentum into your life and business. And today we are talking about a really important topic, something that everybody who is a business owner or trying to build a personal brand worries about constantly. And it is social media. So today we've invited expert Mary Pendleton to talk to us just about that. What are some of the five best tips you can put to work for your social media growth strategy in 2021? This episode is really for everybody. It's for people who fear social media. It's for people who worry about it. And it's for those who just want to know more. I've had so many questions in the last few weeks about Instagram and leaked stories about whether post performance really matters. What is the deal with reels and what's happening to stories that used to be the place to concentrate? As more and more of these platforms add video, it becomes confusing. And if you're not somebody who loves the limelight, you might be worried about whether you can ever get ahead. So I've invited Mary Pendleton, who's a nationally recognized social media strategist. And my favorite part of her title is self-proclaimed chillpreneur. Her expertise lies in Instagram growth, and she has a total passion for purpose-driven businesses. She lives in California, has a husband and three young kids, and certainly knows what the juggle of 2020, 2021 is. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome Mary. Hey.
Hey, Karen. Super stoked to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I find myself living in Boston and I keep gravitating towards finding California natives since I grew up in the Bay Area as well. It seems that it just happens.
That's awesome.
We like to stick together. So talk to us about how you have become a social media expert. What did your journey look like? I'm sure that you didn't wake up one day and just think, I want to be Instagram famous. I'm sure there was a continuum and a journey to get there. So maybe you can talk to everybody about your particular road.
Sure. Well, I've always loved visual arts. I have a degree in art with an emphasis in art history. Of course, that was before Instagram was invented. And also, like I said in my intro, purpose-driven businesses. So I have a master's in nonprofit. I was working in that world for about 12 years. Of course, in the nonprofit world, you juggle all the hats. So I did social media accounts, a whole bunch of other things. And then when my kids were born, it was right when my third son was born, I ended up stepping away from my nonprofit career and launching an online fashion boutique. Isn't that what all moms of three decide to do, right? Like one more baby to the family, basically. So I was running a social driven boutique, really. So I was selling all of my stuff on Instagram, on Facebook. And I really, through that world, found a passion for Instagram. And I found that so many people were asking me questions. A lot of my time was spent kind of helping my friends, giving advice to other small businesses about how they too could succeed on Instagram. And so, like I said, I live in San Francisco in the city with three kids, and I was selling all of these clothes out of our flat and really running out of space fast. My three kids were in one room. My clothing business had its own room, which was just not fair. So I was like, you know, I got to shut this thing down, and I'm really just going to lean into what I do best, which is Instagram. So sold all my clothes off. My son got his own room, lucky duck. And now I work out of a tiny corner of my bedroom, helping other people with Instagram. So when I started out, I helped all my other clients were basically friends of mine. There was so much low-hanging fruit, and I was really helping people just clean up their feeds, really get a handle on the visual identity and the aesthetics, and also helping people learn the strategies that help you get more visibility on Instagram. So that was, gosh, I don't know, 4 years ago, I think. And so now I've kind of diversified my offerings a little bit, but I still do love helping those mompreneurs, those small businesses. And then also with my business, I help a lot of bigger brands also. So the bigger brands are kind of my normal daily management clients, but then I have a ton of smaller brands that I help with. I have a membership and, you know, just a lot of my Instagram content is geared towards those mompreneurs who just need help getting off the floor level or who need just some tiny tweaks to really see some more success in their approach.
Yeah, that's beautiful because I think there are always, you know, some fast secrets that people can put into place. And I know things like hashtag strategies can be totally effective, but it comes overwhelming to a lot of the more, you know, not, I don't want to say junior, but I guess people that aren't as experienced, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at these big brands and these startups or solo entrepreneurs, what are a couple of tips that are basic that anyone can adopt to sort of start seeing better growth and better engagement with their social media activities?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? So I think the first thing I thought of when you asked that was the secret of outbound engagement. So mm-hmm. that means seeking out your ideal customers on Instagram and just chatting with them. So I like to think of Instagram as a party. I'm hosting my own party in my feed, but you also have to attend other people's parties, show up, bring a couple snacks, and just be a good guest. So seeking out your ideal customers, the way I like to do it actually is based on hashtags that they use. I love hashtags because people self-segment with hashtags. So think about your ideal customer. What kind of hashtag might he or she be using? And then search that hashtag and just start commenting on as many posts as you know, feel appropriate for your brand. And there's actually a tool that I use to do this called $80. It's at $80.com. It's a Chrome plugin, and it basically just keeps you super organized as you're doing this outbound engagement. And it helps you go a lot faster rather than sitting on your couch while watching TV, scrolling. And it's so easy to get distracted. This $80 tool is such a lifesaver for me and my business. Because I have to do outbound engagement for so many of my clients. It can be so mind-numbing. But using a tool like this that just kind of lays it out on a different platform helps so much.
I think that you've really hit the nail on the head on one of the things that most people don't consider when they're thinking about social media. I think most people are thinking about, I am passively or actively creating content and I'm expecting people are going to find it. It's going to quote unquote go viral and they're going to start engaging with me. And you, like many others, I mean, I think one of the industry luminaries, right? Gary Vee talks about this. I mean, when he was building his wine business, he spent years commenting on tweets about wine and giving recommendations with no other filter than I'm going to provide extreme value and someday it will pay off. It did, but it took years.
Exactly. And Gary Vee is the one who created the $80 strategy. So this tool that I'm talking about is based on that same $80 thing, which basically is you go and put your 2 cents on up to 90 posts per day, which adds up to $80. I personally have never reached 90 posts in a single sitting. I think I've reached 45, but the idea is still just as effective, you know, even if you only get halfway through it.
Yeah, that is a great idea. So the first thing that you want to do, right, is you can't expect people are just going to find your content, right? So same if you were dating or if you were hoping that your children or you would make more friends in life, you can't put yourself out there, right? People aren't just going to stumble across you if you're sitting in your home.
Exactly. So, yep.
That's a perfect analogy. Do you find that this works for both smaller brands and bigger ones? Because I see in a lot of the Fortune 500s that I work with that other than answering proactive customer service, they're not always engaging on behalf of the brand proactively.
Exactly. And it really still works for those bigger brands. And people get so tickled when a brand comments, you know, authentically on their post. It's like, wow, how did they find me? You feel so special. And it adds that personification to the brand that really connects people to it. That's what social media is. It's just personification of the business. So if your bigger brand can, you know, find your ideal customers and tap them on the shoulder and say hi, it like means everything to them.
So you're right there, right? And Instagram is really the focus of your business, but I think that these ideas kind of span across channels, right? Can you talk a little bit how you think these engagement tactics work on Facebook and TikTok and LinkedIn, even Twitter?
Yes. Yeah. Twitter was the first one I thought of. One of my biggest brands, their biggest platform is Twitter. So yeah, it's like following those conversations and joining in. So one of my brands is a app, tech world thing. So we get really involved in those conversations. People may not be mentioning us in those conversations, but we can still hop in, put our 2 cents in, and all the people in that conversation then say, oh, who's this? I'm going to go check them out. And, you know, there we go, getting the right people attracted to us because we're part of those conversations. And that's definitely possible on LinkedIn as well. TikTok too. Sometimes TikTok comments, I mean, they can get so lost on some of those huge viral videos. So I like to do this on some of these smaller videos that I come across. I think if you're commenting on a huge video, you're probably not going to get as much bang for your buck. So, but you're definitely still getting the attention of the person who posted it.
Yeah, that
you
makes
know, the sense. Only thing I don't think it would work for is Pinterest. I feel like Pinterest is secretly a search engine, right? Not really social media. So I have not found outbound engagement to be effective on that platform.
I agree with that. Yeah, I look at Pinterest as, you know, visual SEO.
Yeah.
It works really well for a lot of different categories. So let's talk about the thing that I, in my perception, makes a lot of big brands and startup entrepreneurs the most scared. And that is video.
Yep.
The everlasting video question. I mean, I know in my own heart and mind, every time I undertake one of these activities to be more active in video, you know, I'm reminded that, you know, everybody's home, we're all on top of each other. Maybe the yoga wear hasn't been taken off in 7 months. And, you know, and you begin to feel self-conscious. But if you look at any of the true influencers, whether it's like Charlie on TikTok or, you know, people like yourself, they're not always getting glammed up in every single moment to shoot every video. So you talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I definitely think your authenticity is an asset and your imperfections are an asset. That's what people are going to relate to more than wearing eyeliner that day. And another thing I like to think about video is like, sometimes it's the more boring, the better when it comes to content. It's like on Seinfeld. It was a show about nothing and people loved it. That's what they called it, a show about nothing. So sometimes getting on there, just being a totally normal, boring person makes people think I'm like, it's just so much more relatable. So don't feel like you have to be super special, super gorgeous every time you're showing up. People don't relate to that quite as much. There are also some strategies to putting your face out there, maybe less than other people. So like if you're doing a reel, for example, I do reels a lot and I might show my face for a second at the beginning and say, here's how you do XYZ. And then my camera is facing towards my laptop or my phone as I'm doing a demonstration. So you don't have to be the one like performing the whole time. You could maybe, you know, pop your face up there for a second, or maybe not even put your face up there at all, but you could still create video content that's demonstrating something valuable for your audience.
Yeah, that's a really good way, you know, to make it feel a little bit more approachable for people. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the big question these days. And that's about the performance on Instagram, the dreaded algorithm, what matters with the feed versus the story versus the reel. I'm going to leave it open so you can take it in any direction that you see fit.
Totally. I love this concept lately that your feed is really for bringing in new followers. That's what the grid is for. Your stories are for connecting with your current followers, right? Random people are not going to come across your stories. So the stories is where you connect and convert with your existing followers. And well, Reels can be a little bit of both, right? Because you can share it to your grid, but you can also share it to your stories. But Reels also are for bringing in new followers too, because Instagram is pushing them out so much. So I think Reels are a fun way to be a little more funny and catchy and unique. And then the grid would be more for like educational and inspirational content.
And showing that you're a legit destination once somebody has stumbled upon you.
Exactly. Because a lot of times that first post is like a first impression. So maybe if somebody comes across you searching for your hashtag or something like that, but your grid is really your second impression. And that's when people are going to decide if they're going to follow you or not. So you want to have a cohesive visual identity on your grid that makes people comfortable knowing what to expect. If they follow you, there's not going to be a random picture of a platypus if I'm posting about, you know, Instagram.
And Aries does a great job. I mean, you have a visual arts background, right? So your feed is very clean and very, you know, visually simple. You know, less is more a lot of times. Like a little less flair, we like to call it in the design world, is always a good thing. And you have a very nice brand point of
awesome.
View.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So when we talk about Reels, right? I've had this discussion with a lot of people in my circle, and specifically, you know, even bigger brands that they said, how do you make them? It seems hard. It seems complicated. I know you have a YouTube video on your channel that sort of walks people through it, but do you have any quick tips in case someone's sitting here playing with their phone while they're listening to us and they want to try to make one?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a hint at how I do it a lot of times.
Okay.
I record it in my video app first, and then I upload the whole thing to Reels. I find that editing within Reels is a little bit glitchy, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I'm sure they're working this out. So I'd say give it a couple months and it'll be better. But I like to also take several takes because I forget words a lot and I space out. So I like to just keep my camera running, put it on a tripod, my phone, you know, whatever. I try it 10 different times. And then I edit it down. I use an app called InShot on my phone. I think it's free. It's like awesome. Edit it down to 15 or 30 seconds. And then I load that video to Reels. So really helping, it just kind of warms me up because I feel like if I'm recording it in app, I don't know. But then I add the text in app because I think that using the tools within the app tells Instagram, that, you know, they push videos
their own platform, right?
Yeah, so like don't record it on TikTok first and then load it to Reels, because I think they actually just said the other day they're going to start kind of, what's the word, stifling those videos if they have the TikTok.
Oh, that's great. So that's really important. I mean, I know that when we had an intern working on some Reels for us last fall, he preferred really to use different editing software and was much more familiar with TikTok, so leaned in that direction. But that is important. So in, what's the name of the app again? Let's say that one more time for everybody.
InShot.
InShot. Okay, I have heard of that. So InShot being a great editing tool. One of the things that was hard with stories, right? If you happen to have a brand page and not a personal page, you didn't have access to some of the music options for your stories. But Reels enables everybody to have access to music.
I don't have access to music on my Reels,
music.
But it's weird. You know, if I come across a reel and I want to use their same sound, I can like say, use this sound in my video, but I don't have access to the whole library unless I'm taking a sound from another video. So I, you know, and I think they're
you
changing
access to like, some music, but maybe not the hottest.
Yeah. Which is why I used to also record on TikTok first and then load it over to Reels. But it just got too complicated doing that. And a lot of times I don't rely on music for my reels. I just talk. I just use my own voice a lot of times. Or I borrow those sounds from other videos that I come across.
So for the folks, this has come up too, for folks that have created a business page for their Instagram account. It's what I did when I started because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. There's been some kind of new thought leadership out there, right? That if you're going to start a business account, you probably want it under your name, not your business. Can you talk a little bit about that? And is there anything we can do for us who already have business branded Instagram pages?
Yeah, I've never heard of that strategy of having it as your name instead. I think that, I mean, if you're a brand that, if you're a personal brand, having it as your name is...
Well, yeah, as a personal brand or, oh, you know, okay. Person behind, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't work if you were, you know, Embark.
Like,
yeah, that wouldn't work. But yeah, I see.
For me, example, as Love Mary Pendleton, not what, you know, a business name.
Correct.
And you can always, I mean, if you want to change your handle, you can. It's so easy to do. You just pull up your bio and you can change it right there. People, I mean, everyone will still be following you. You may have to do a post or two that says, hey, it's still me. I just changed my name.
Right.
But I, when it comes to that, I do always recommend. So there's your Instagram username, which is your handle, but then there's also the name that shows up in your bio. And I always recommend having your first name in that bio name, and then also a word about what you do, because that part is searchable. So I like to have a word there, like mine, I think, says Mary Instagram growth expert or something like that. I want it to be searchable so that if people are looking for Instagram growth or Instagram experts, I show up there. But I also want it to have my first name so that when people find me, they know, you know, what to call me. And that's like, for example, a clothing business I've worked with, and it's just really a one woman show. I suggested that she adds her first name because her clothing business, it's just harder for people to relate to. Yeah. They do need that first name for memorability.
Yeah. That's really, really smart. And that's something, you know, people could easily change right now, right? You can go to your profile right now. And if you have a business, ensure that below the name of your Instagram account, you are putting your first name and a descriptor of what you do.
Yep.
And that's a great thing for, you know, everybody to try even today.
Exactly.
So when we think about trends for 2021 and social media, I always like to leave the audience with a few quick tips and kind of that top three or five list of things to do. Can you give us a few tips and tricks on how to optimize what you're currently doing and maybe start moving towards a higher engagement feed?
Yes. So let's see. First of all, when it comes to visual trends, I definitely recommend having text in your posts. Do not just have a picture of yourself. Always have text on top of it, explaining what the post is about. People always look at your image first before they read your caption, and you need to grab them right away. If they see a picture of you and your caption is, you know, a little bit related, but kind of about a different topic, they might just keep scrolling. So this is something I do in my own feed. It is very, very rare that I just have a picture and no text on top of it. So I use Canva to easily add beautiful text on top of my images. And Canva just added a curved text feature, which is so fun. So I'm seeing lots of curved text in Instagram posts that really just seems like it's trending right now. So I thought I would mention it.
Oh, I see that. So if you go to Mary Pendleton's, it's Love Mary Pendleton, you'll see in some couple of her recent posts, she has Instagram growth and then done for you sort of curves around the side or new reel across the top in an arc for all the mamas. That's really interesting. And it's great. I mean, I don't know how any brand or influencer lives without Canva these days.
Oh my gosh. I was another friend of mine. I was just commenting on her post. Because she was talking about her obsession with Canva. And I was saying one of my clients has a team of graphic designers. And so I have to work with this team to create the graphics. And they love to use this other program called Figma, which I think is a graphic designer, you know, beloved tool. But I'm always secretly like slinking back over to my Canva, creating the graphics there because I just love it so much. I think it's like a layperson's graphic design tool that really lowers the bar for everybody. So truly,
yeah, I find Figma to be way more have issues with being a stable platform than Canva, not to mention it. I feel like it works really better for website UX design than it does for anything like pretty per se.
Yeah, that's got to be why they love it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a great tip. So if you've made, you know, a text heavy visual, and the next thing you're going to do is what?
Definitely. Well, this might be jumping ahead in like chronological order, but use even more niche hashtags than you did before. So hashtags are getting a little bit more, not like pushed down, but like you really, like I always suggest niche hashtags before, but I say niche them down even more. And by that, I mean, before I would have said use hashtags that have under 1 million uses. If you use a hashtag with over 1 million uses, you're never going to get seen. But now I suggest, you know, as of 3 months ago, go only use hashtags with 500,000 uses or less. And usually that means like making them a little bit longer hashtags. So think of the hashtags that your ideal customer would be searching for, and get as specific as possible, because you really want to show up in those feeds. They're really competitive these days. So the more niche down you get, the more visibility you're going to get.
And that's a great question, because I've had a lot of people discuss this topic. What is the right amount of hashtags for a brand or the business to use? Do you cycle through a selection of them, or do you stay very tight on a couple handfuls?
Oh, I could literally, hashtags are my love language. I could talk about this all day long. So I think Instagram gives you 30 opportunities for hashtags. Use all 30. They're like free advertising. They're like, also like I was saying before, they're like invitations to your party. Like that's the only way someone's going to come across your post unless you're doing outbound engagement. Excuse me. So you really want to use every invitation that you're given to your party. So don't only send out 5 invitations if there's 30 in the box, right? Use all of them up. And when it comes to cycling through, definitely. You want to have a variety specific to whatever content you're posting that day. So I use Planoly to schedule most of my clients' posts. And within Planoly, you can save hashtag sets. So, I mean, on my own account, I probably have like 40 different sets of hashtags, and they all have between 5 and 10 hashtags based on a certain topic that I talk about often. And then depending on whatever I'm posting, I pick 3 or 4 hashtag sets from Planoly and paste them in. So by that way, each set of 30 hashtags that I post, it really is unique every single time. It would be pretty rare for me to post or paste in the same 3 or 4 hashtag sets. And also when it comes to hashtags, I like to build a hashtag ladder. So by that, I mean 1/3 of the hashtags should be super, super niche, like 10,000 uses or less. 1/3 should be somewhere in the middle, maybe up to 250,000 uses. And then 1/3 should be the broadest set, so up to 500,000 uses. So each hashtag set that I create, I have a variety of sizes so that I make sure I'm spanning that whole selection. And then so when I paste them in, that ratio kind of carries through. So really, not just getting super, super tiny hashtags, but having a variety so that you're reaching different sizes of audiences.
And I see one of the other things that comes up a lot is that you tend to put, you know, 2 to 3 hashtags in your actual post copy, and then you copy and paste like your bigger list as a comment. Can you talk a little bit about that strategy?
Yes. And so to be honest, it's just a aesthetic thing. Hashtags perform just as well in your caption or in the first comment. So there's no stress there. Planoly lets you schedule your first comment while you're scheduling your post. So I just like to tuck my hashtags away just to kind of keep things clean, especially as a post gets more comments, that first comment gets hidden and it just looks a little bit cleaner. It's kind of like dead space in the caption visually. So it's like, let's just tuck that under the rug, but it will still perform while it's down there. And Yeah, I think that's it. I think it just keeps it cleaner and it's so easy to schedule within Planoly. So I love that feature.
And so for formatting, you definitely make sure that you have some great spacing in your posts. I know I've seen some challenges with clients who rely on scheduling software where it doesn't post correctly. It just doesn't look perfect. Can you talk a little bit about some of those tips and tricks?
Yes. And I know Instagram has fixed this line break issue. So if you're posting on the fly within Instagram, you aren't going to have problems. You just hit enter and it goes down to the next line. Although I just learned that that's on iPhone, which is what I have. I think on Android, the enter button is like hidden. You have to like click the numbers or something and then the enter button. Anyways, it's a little bit different. But that feature is there. Within Planoly, I will admit this is a problem. They like add in 15 spaces or something at the end of your line, I think, to fix that line break problem. But now that Instagram has already fixed the problem, sometimes the spacing does get weird and it looks like you have two spaces instead of one. And so that is something I often go back into, like after it's posted, I'll go back and I'll just delete that section of posts or spaces.
Well, I'm glad to know that we're not the only ones who have that problem, that the true expert says she sees spacing.
Yes, we need to file a complaint with Planoly for sure. I still like Planoly. I mean, even that's probably my number one complaint, and it's not that huge of a deal. I've tried later, and it just does not work with my brain. I use Hootsuite for a big client. It's fine, but it's not my favorite either.
What about the scheduling software within the app itself? So the Instagram suite, what do you think about that?
Yes, the Facebook Creator Studio. Mm-hmm. It is pretty good. It's just like visually not as pleasing to me. And I feel like there are, like I like on Planoly how I can lay things out and mix things around, drag and drop. I can load up a whole bunch of posts that maybe I haven't created captions for, but the graphics are there. Yeah. But the thing I love about Creator Studio is that you can schedule carousel posts, and you cannot do that on any other scheduling app. So if I ever have a carousel post I want to schedule, I schedule it in the Creator Studio.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So if we're talking about some of the hottest trends or ways to get views and engagement on Reels, what would be some of the posts to try for someone that is just starting out?
Well, it's so funny because as I scroll through Reels, I save the ones that I want to try myself. You know how you can save posts on Instagram and create a folder system? I'm obsessed with saving posts. I have a very detailed organization system behind the scenes. I should create a reel about it, actually. But so as I'm going through, if there's ever a reel I see that I think I could put my own spin on, I save it. And then when I'm ready to create reels, I just kind of dig through my little gold mine I've created. But for reels, I think that they can either be entertaining or educational. So if you're the type of person that likes to be funny or, you know, something like that, Reels is great for that. That doesn't work for me as well. I feel like such an uber dork and I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. So I really focus on educational Reels. And I think that people can have a lot of success with that. So just kind of this like micro education. If there's tiny things that you can teach your audience, create a reel about it, create something at the beginning that, you know, like clickbait type of headlines. And then even if you could have like a secret reveal at the end of the reels, that always encourages people to watch all the way through. Another thing about reels is you really want to make sure you are centered in the middle of the camera because it does get cropped when it goes to the feed. So playing with your spacing is really important. Putting the bulk of the information right in the center of the screen will ensure that people stick around longer. So, but definitely that educational content is what can go really viral, or funny stuff. If you love to do the dances and, you know, the pointing is also fun if people don't want to talk. have a couple of different things and you put the little text boxes up by where your finger's pointing to. That's a good kind of like starter place to get started on Instagram.
That's the one that I've given for most of my startup entrepreneurs that are more personal brands. I said, start with like who you are with the five questions and do that as your first reel because it's easy, right? It's a good first step. And then what do you do? Or what's the secret to what you do? You know, that begins to add it. So one last question before we do our quick little speed round. Do you batch your content or do you do it whenever you feel inspired?
Such a good question. And for my clients, definitely batch. I'm like a month ahead of time. When it comes to me, oh boy, a lot of times I am posting. Well, I do it like the night before and then I schedule it for the next morning to go live. But I do have a overall plan for myself. Again, in Planoly, they have these little sticky notes that you can put on the calendar within Planoly. So I have my content laid out for the whole month. I know what type of thing I'm going to post about, but I don't always have the graphics and the caption written until a day or two before, to be honest. I don't really ever post natively in Instagram, though, usually because I want to paste in my hashtags.
Yeah, that makes sense. And just to give people maybe an estimate of time, right? If you're talking about doing an Instagram and social strategy that's done well and really does this engagement, how much time do brands need to invest in this?
I like to do 20 minutes of outbound engagement per day. So that's doable, I think. And then when it comes to definitely batching content, definitely saves you time. I don't know what my problem is, why I don't do it more often. I think I just am too frazzled with other things. But batching, I mean, if you could sit down and create 4 or 5 posts in an hour, that would take care of you for the whole week. You know, so I think 1 hour a week for creating a week load of content and then 20 minutes a day for replying to people and doing that outbound engagement. But, I think creating reels definitely takes more time. So I like to do maybe one reel a week. And I'll be honest, most of my reels I record sitting inside my minivan after I've taken my son to preschool. And my audience thinks that it's funny now. And they're like, wow, I can tell you're in your car. Or I made a funny one about like, welcome to my office, and then showed my camera around and it was like a bunch of dirty car seats in the back of the minivan. So don't feel like it has to be perfect on those reels, but they do take a little more time adding in the text. It's good to create a cover graphic. I mean, that's up to you how much time you have, but it probably takes me about 30 minutes to create a reel.
So this was great. So I think if we were to summarize, you know, the top 5 things that Mary is suggesting that we do to better our social media approach this year, it's 1, you're going to have your first name in your Instagram profile with a descriptor of what you do. It's Mary, Instagram growth expert would be the example. And that's because that's SEO optimized and you're going to be able to get more traction. 2 is find the top 30 hashtags in your category that your audience engage with, but stop at hashtags that have more than 500,000 and segment it. Look for the small, medium, and large hashtags that are under 500,000 and sequence accordingly. The next one is make your reels with a video editing software until, you know, all of the kinks get worked out. Makes it a little bit easier. The next piece is batching content and planning ahead, whether you use Planoly or something else. It just makes it easier to manage your hashtags. And the last and probably the most important and most often overlooked piece is you've got to proactively engage. Even 20 minutes a day can be enough to really see that organic growth go up.
That you totally nailed it, Karen. You are such a good listener. I'm so, I love
that. I'm taking notes, Mary. I'm putting all this into practice. I'm coming up with new hashtags for clients while we're talking about this. I'm didn't text because I turn my phone off, but I mean, my assistant's going to get a list of like, do this for this client, do this for this client.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, you really summarized it perfectly. So exciting. Yeah.
Well, that's great. So we like to leave our listeners with you know, that one momentum hack or that one momentum tip, of all of those things that we talked about, what do you think is the first thing they should do today?
Of the things we talked about, definitely changing your bio. I think it's the easiest thing to do. And while you have Instagram open, why don't you just do 5 minutes of outbound engagement too while you're there?
So I actually tried to change my bio during this conversation because that's how quickly I like
Yes.
to execute. And that's really the key, everyone. I mean, we do this episode every Friday so that you can get more tips and tricks for your life. But the challenge is, if you don't actually implement them, you're never going to make more momentum. So while you're listening to your podcast or while you get advice from a coach or an expert, you got to execute immediately. I mean, Tony Robbins talks about the most successful people are not the smartest or the brightest. They just move fastest to get the edge. So today we're going to challenge you to take that step and actually do something right now to better your social engagement and get more eyeballs.
Yes, I love it.
So, Mary, if we have people in this audience right now, and I'm sure we do, they're like, I love this. I want more. How do I work with her? How does she manage my social? How did they get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, my happy place is really Instagram, so you could always DM me there at Love Mary Pendleton. And from there, you can find my website, marypendletonsocial.com. I've got my services there. But one thing that people may love is my hashtag membership, which is hashtag-hero.com. It's a monthly subscription where you get access to my handpicked hashtag library and one bonus surprise training every month. So I would like to keep it really simple. You get the hashtags just in your email. There is a login, but you don't actually have to log in if you don't want to. Like I said, I'm a chillpreneur. I need to make things as easy as possible to keep my chill intact. But yeah, hit me up on Instagram. You can find everything there.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mary. This was really helpful. And I always know my litmus test for a great episode is when I can put all of these tips to use for my business and my clients, which we are going to do. So I really thank you, one California native to another.
Yes.
And make sure you look her up at Mary Pendleton. And thanks so much. We are happy that you joined us here at Marketing at Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday to talk about tips and tricks for your growth. We love reviews. So please go to iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, or iHeartRadio and tell us what you think. Tell us what you want more of. That helps us pick our guests. And if you're interested in being a guest on Momentum Magnet, please visit us at momentummagnet.com. Please remember, I'm Karen Morales. I'm your host and the founder of Marketing Magnet, a small, nimble agency for purpose-driven businesses. Thanks again for joining us and have a great Friday.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit momentummagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency, or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.